We're going to do today Kina Mem Aleph, Sha'ali Srufa Be'esh. This is a very interesting Kina. It deals with an event that happened in the year 1242. We once spoke about this on Friday, Shabbos Parsha Skukas, Erev Shabbos Parsha Skukas. It was that year, in the year 1242, it was Vav Tammuz. Happened to be Erev Shabbos Parsha Skukas, when a terrible thing happened. 24 carloads of manuscripts of Talmud, mainly Talmud Bavli, and manuscripts from Rishonim elucidating the Talmud Bavli were burnt in the public square in Paris. This again, there were approximately 1,200 manuscripts, including the Talmud Bavli and other manuscripts by various Rishonim, their commentary on the Talmud Bavli, were burnt in Paris. This event took place at the end of a 2-year tzara, where many manuscripts were first seized in advance, and there were debates. King Louis the Ninth, he was called Saint Louis. There was an apostate that was malshin to the government, to the church, that the Talmud is full of kefiras, full of things which are not in line with the belief of the church. And after a series of debates where the Gedolei Yisrael of the time defended the Talmud, it was still a foregone conclusion that the Talmud would have to be destroyed. And they searched and seized, like we said, 24 carloads of manuscripts, 1,200 manuscripts, and they were burned publicly in the town square in Paris. The Gedolim of the time interpreted this as a punishment for Sinas Chinam, because a couple of years before, in the year 1234, and again, right before, in the year 1242, right within 40 days of the burning of the Talmud, the works of the Rambam, specifically the Mor Nevuchim and Sefer Hamada, were burnt by Jews and non-Jews, as a result of Sinas Chinam, which got out of hand. In other words, at that point in time, there were different groups of Klal Yisrael that had very different hashkafas, different lifestyles, different ways of serving Hashem. The Jews of France and Germany were very pure. They completely distanced themselves from any participation in the secular world. But the Jews of Spain and other parts of the world, they had a different approach to Avodas Hashem, where they participated in the culture of the secular culture of society. These two different forms of Avodas Hashem clashed, and it exploded with the publishing of the works of the Rambam and Nevuchim, Sefer Hamada, where the Rambam speaks about the study of philosophy, and there were many people that were not happy with his ideas. One thing led to another, and they burnt the works of the Rambam. Within 40 days of burning the works of the Rambam for the second time, it was decreed that the Talmud should be burnt in the very same location. And in fact, the ashes of the Talmud mixed with the ashes of the Rambam, Zmer Nebuchim, Sefer Hamada, and that's why it was interpreted as a punishment for this Sinas Chinam, which got out of hand. And that's why it's very appropriate to read this Kina on Tisha B'Av, because Tisha B'Av is a day that we focus on Sinas Chinam. The Baal Shani was Chabi because of Sinas Chinam. Now we have to realize how tragic this event was, because this took place 200 years before the invention of the printing press, and 300 years before the printing of the first Talmud, the Bramberg Talmud. That's the first Talmud. And at this point in time, to produce a Talmud was a very, very great expense, very great effort to hand write and hand copy a manuscript to produce another Talmud. Who was present when this terrible tzara happened? The famous Rav Meir Mirandberg. Rabbi Ramberg, he was born in the year 1220, There's another opinion that says, other records, he was born in the year 1215, which means that he was 22 years old at the time of the Sreifas HaTalmud, or 27 years old. He was a witness. The Merami Ramberg was from the last Bali Tosis. He was the Rebbe of the Rosh. The Rosh, in turn, was the source of many of the Minhagim and Halachas of the Ramah, Rav Moshe Isserles, and he was from the last of the Bali Tosis. He witnessed this event when he was 22 years old, and obviously he felt that he was devastated. He saw in this the beginning of the end of French Jewry. And he was very worried, would there be a Talmud in the future for Klal Yisrael? And he composed this kina. It's not clear if he composed this kina immediately after the event or later in his life, but here we have his kina. Now let's just run through the kina very quickly. He has some very powerful ideas are expressed. Sha'ali srufa bo'esh l'shlom avilech. May you, the Torah, the Talmud that has been burnt in fire, may you inquire after the welfare of those who mourn for your loss. He's giving the Talmud life. He's telling the Talmud, you should, just like this fits in line with the same with all of the Tzions, where we tell the Tzion, Halosish Ali L'shloim Asirayich. He's copying the theme of Rabbi Yehuda Halevi in his kina of Kina Lamed Vav of Shali Shalom Yerushalayim. Tzion Halosish Tzion is viewed as a living creature, and we're asking her to mourn, to seek out the welfare of those that seek her benefit, her good. Here as well, Shali Shsuf Beish, may the Torah that's been burned in fire, may it seek out the benefit, the peace of those that mourn. Hamasavim Shchon Bachatzad Zivlech, who desperately want to dwell in the courtyard of your residence. Zavul is like the Beis HaMikdash. The Talmidei Chacham, who very much want to return to the Beis HaMikdash. Hashayafim Ba'afar Eretz. This is a pasuk in Tehillim. Pasuk says, Kiratsu Avodecha Es Avoneho. Your servants cherish her stones. V'yes Aforo Yichoneinu. And cherish the earth. So here it refers to the Talmidei Chacham who cherish Eretz Yisrael and yearn for the return of Mashiach and the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash. V'akoyavim v'hamishtoimim, those that are in pain, that are in shock. Hamishtoimim. Alei moiked gililaych. So here he first refers to exactly the event that happened on the burning of your scrolls. There's another gersa, gililaych. Gvil means your paper, your parchment. Same idea, which means that he's what?
We have the word gilyon.
The margin. So here he's referring over here specifically to the burning of the sifrei, of the manuscripts of the Talmud. Holchem chashechem, they walk in darkness. Now that there is no Torah, they go in darkness. Ve'ein noga, and there is no light. The koyvim, they yearn, la'or yomam, they yearn once again for the light of day. Asher yisrach alehem v'yalach, which will shine upon them and upon you, upon the Torah. Ushloim eno shnenach b'echa b'lev nishbar. And seek out, he refers to his instruction, that the Talmud should come to life and seek out the benefit, the peace of man that moans, nenach, Enosh nenach boche b'lev nishbar, that who express sighs and cry with a broken heart, tamid mekoinein al tzirei chavalayich, and they continuously mourn, lament over your labor pains. So here he compares the pain of the Torah, the degradation and the suffering of the Torah to a woman, to the pain that a woman experiences when she is in labor. And they howl like different creatures. These are different creatures which make loud sounds. Ostriches and jackals. And they call out in a eulogy, Big Lalaich, on your behalf. Now what do they say? Here's where they begin to say, how could it possibly, have some very powerful imagery in this kina. Echa, obviously Echa is a very appropriate word that fits in with the theme of Tisha B'Av. Echa nesuna be'esh oichla. How could it be that the Torah that was given with an all-consuming fire? Someone mentioned the passage before. The Torah was given esh mimino, esh das lama. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the Torah from fire. It came down, a pillar of fire came out of heaven when the Torah was given. Its Torah is considered to be called black fire on white fire. The osios of the Torah is black fire, the parchment is white fire, the Torah that was given with fire, how could it be that it's consumed to uchal, it's consumed be'esh basar, by fire from human beings. The fire of a human being is insignificant relative to the fire of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How can a divine fire be consumed by an earthly man-made fire? V'lo nichlu zonim b'gachalayich, and your enemies, the enemies that have done this terrible crime, they were not injured in your coals, in the coals of the fire, the divine fire of Torah. Now here he says it'll be very powerful. Ad on adino. Adina here refers to the church. How long, who is the one that has committed this horrible crime? It was the church. The church demanded to see and hear what is written in the Talmud, and because one of our own, an apostate, a Jewish apostate, told the church that the words of the Talmud are not in agreement with the theology of the church, and the church demanded debates and to hear what it says in the Talmud. And here they are called the Adina, delicate. They are free from criticism, from torture. They live a pampered life. So here, Rabbi Merki asks, Ad on Adina, how long will the church, the delicate one, Tehi Shechna Baruch Hashkeit, continue to dwell in serenity? And yet the Talmidei Chachamim, the people, the great Talmidei Chachamim, who defended the Talmud, they are covered with thorns, insults. The defenders of the Talmud were insulted and were harassed. Teishev Beroiv Gaiva is a very powerful line, these next two lines. Teishev Beroiv Gaiva, the church, it sits in an abundance of arrogance. Lishboit B'nei Kel B'chol HaMishpatim, to judge if the Talmud is correct. Who do they think they are? Who gave them the authority to decide that they will decide if the Talmud is correct or is incorrect? V'savi Bif Lilayich, and they bring the Talmud into judgment. Otigzar, and then when they're not satisfied with what it says in the Talmud, they take it upon themselves to be goyzer, to decree, lisroif, to burn the das eish, v'chukim, to burn the Torah and its laws. Ulechein, and therefore, Rabbi Rabberberg says, ashrei sheyesham loch gimulayich, fortunate is the person that will punish the church for their horrible crime. Tsuri balapid eish, my rock, Hashem, with balapid v'eish, with Balapid Ra'esh, with fire, various forms of fire. Haliv avur zen nisonech ki ve'achri sech telahid esh b'shulayich. So he's coming to complain. Why is it that, how did this happen? How could it be such a terrible thing that the Torah was burnt? Is it because since Torah was given with fire, that was a sign, an omen, that the Torah will be destroyed with fire? Hashem, why couldn't you just give us the Torah on a nice sunny day? Torah had to be given mitoich. It must be now, after we witnessed this horrible sorrow, it was an omen that the day would come when the fire would be destroyed, the Torah would be destroyed with fire. Sinai, ha'alkein b'cho b'char elokim, umas b'gdolim v'zorach b'gvulayich, lios l'mofes l'dos ki sismait v'sed v'nikvoidah. Why did Hashem give the Torah on Har Sinai? So we are all familiar with, because Mount Har Sinai was the lowest mountain. Hashem searched mountains who were powerful, strong, mighty mountains, Har Carmel and Har Tavor. Hashem rejected those mountains and chose Har Sinai. So we know, because of this, Hashem taught us that Torah must be given with humility. Torah, Sinai was humble, and Torah only goes to those that are meek, humble, humble of spirit, like Mayim, Hoy called Saman Luchu L'Mayim, just like Mayim descends to the lowest land, so to Torah descends to those that are meek and humble, and Sinai is a symbol of humility. But now, in retrospect, after witnessing this terrible crime that has occurred, that the Torah has been destroyed, it must be the reason why Torah was given a low mountain is not because of humility, it's because Torah is not choshev. Torah is insignificant. It can be stepped upon. The goyim have a right to destroy it. Is that why Torah was given on a low mountain? Liyos l'moifesh should be as a sign l'dos for the Torah ki sismait v'sered mechvaidah, that it will be diminished and will descend from its honor. And then he goes on to give a mashal. V'hei nem shol mish sholech. Let me now give a parable. Moshul Melech Ashabachal Mishtib No, a king, he made a party for his son, he made a wedding feast. Tsaf Ashayigva, and during the wedding he saw, he had a vision that his son will die. Kain at Bimilaich, the fire that accompanied the giving of the Torah, and the low mountain that accompanied the giving of the Torah, was the vision that during this great ceremony of giving the Torah to Klal Yisrael, it's a sign that the Torah would one day be destroyed, it would be burnt by fire, and be degraded to a low level that the nations of the world have power to commit such a horrible crime. Tachas nil tiska sina levushech v'sak. He's telling Sina, you should now dress yourself in sackcloth. Tate levush almanus tachlif simus. Tate gird yourself with levush almanus tachlif simulaich. Put on clothing of a widow. Sinai har Sinai. Look what has happened. You shall be ashamed and dress yourself in sackcloth and the clothing of a widow. Oyre demos ade yuknachal. I will shed tears until my shears form a river, and my tears will reach the graves of the two great givers of the Torah, Moshe and Aaron. Moshe, the Aaron, Aaron was a partner in the receiving of the Torah. V'eshan, I will ask them, Moshe, where is the Torah? Do you have another one to give us? This, the Torah that you've given us is gone. Is there a replacement for this, that is the Torah that's been destroyed? Torah was given in the third month. Sivan is the third month of the year. We have Nisan, Iyar, Sivan. But in the fourth month of the year, Vav Tammuz, is the month when the Torah was destroyed. Chodesh Shlishi Hukshardi, in the third month it was given, but in the fourth month there was a kesher. There was a conspiracy against the Torah. Lahashchis Chemdosech, to destroy your delight, V'chol Yofi Kililayich, and the beauty, and your perfect beauty. The Torah was destroyed. Goda Leluchos, what happened in the fourth month of the year? So the Gemara Masechet Tainus tells us five things happened in the fourth month of the year. One of those things was the luchos were shattered in Tammuz. On Shiva Asa B'Tammuz, the luchos were shattered. Which is also Apostomus. Apostomus, he burnt the Torah. That was recorded in the Gemara Masechet Tainus. So two terrible things already happened to the Torah in the month of Tammuz, and now a third thing is happening, that the Torah is being burnt again in Vav Tammuz in the year 1242. Chodesh Lishi, Bokshar Harvi, Lahashchis Chemdaseich, your delighted one has been destroyed. V'chol Yofi Kilayich, and your perfect one, God and Luchos, the Luchos were cut down, were shattered, the Oit Shina Bivalto, and another terrible thing was happened, that the Torah was burnt. Lishroif Bo'eshtos, Hazet Hashlam Kifelaich, it's Kefal. This is a double burning, Apostomus and the Shrefa Satalmud. Esmal Anafshi Echiav Lichi Gechel, and I now wonder if it's possible for me to eat. I have so much pain, I'll no longer be able to eat. After I witnessed the fact that your shalol, your spoils, your precious spoils have been destroyed. El Toich Ruch, and this is a very powerful theme, what he says now. El Toich Ruchoiva Kilidachas, V'sarfu Shalal Elyon. There's a halach of Irnidachas. If a city does have a desire, all of the property of the city has to be gathered to the center of the city, has to be destroyed. But the Gemara Mesech, the Sanhedrin says, Shalalah, V'loy shalal shamayim. If a city does the avodah zarah, all of the property is burnt, but not the sifrei kodesh, the mezuzos, and the sifrei kodesh. Any sefer that's kodesh is not burnt in the center square, because shalalah, V'loy shalal shamayim. And here in the town square in Paris, the shalal shamayim was singled out for sreifa, like an irani dachas. El Teichu Chava Kinidachas V'Sarfu Shilal Elyoin Asher Timas Lovay Kukalei. Who went and did this? It was destroyed by people, by wicked people who are not allowed to enter into Klal Yisrael. La'eda Limsa Derech Slula. And now that we no longer have a Torah, I do not know what I'm going to do. I do not know. Remember, was afraid that Klal Yisrael would not be able to survive, because without the Talmud, Klal Yisrael does not have a Derech, a Hadracha, for life. I was afraid that lelim sadech will not find a path to lead me in life. Has become dressed in mourning all of the paths. Period. Yumtach b'fi midvash limsech b'mashke d'maos. It's more sweet to my mouth than more sweet than honey to mix into my cup, my drink, tears. I rather drink my tears than eat something that's sweet as honey. Chassam Sofer is famous. Chassam Sofer, Erev Tisha B'Av, would cry. He would cry Erev Tisha. He would learn Eicha, and he would fill up. Can you believe this, such a thing? Fill up a whole cup of tears, Chassam Sofer, and then would drink it, Erev Tisha B'Av, as part of the Sudas Hanav Sekes. Can you believe such a thing? A whole cup of tears, and would drink it. This is the Chassam Sofer. It's more sweet to me than honey to mix into my drink tears. And for my feet to be shackled up in chains. It's pleasant for my eyes to draw out my tears. Until there are no more tears, until the tears would be finished, l'chol for all machzik b'chnaf me'ilayich, for all of those people who hold on to the Torah. I'm not exactly sure what that means, but he says something very, very amazing. He says now, ad ach yechrevu biriditam al lechayai. His tears are coming down his cheek, but he is so upset, has so much pain that his flesh is burning. So the heat of his cheeks will cause the tears to evaporate before they reach the end of his cheek. It's a very powerful expression. His tears are flowing to no end, yet they dry up on his cheeks due to the intense body heat of anguish. Avur, because ki nichmudu rachamai lindod be'olech, because my compassion is intense because of your exile. Lokach tsuror kaspo halach b'derech l'meiruchum. Now this is in the pasuk. This is a gemara. The gemara, the pasuk in Mishlei, which a lot of the mafarshim on Kinas they dwell on. That the gemara there talks about, the gemara in Masechta Tainis, I believe, speaks about Nevuchadnezzar. And Nevuchadnezzar was cautious in his attempt to conquer Yerushalayim. He had experience. Nebuchadnezzar, according to the Medrash, was a soldier in the army of Sanherib. It's not clear how he can have been so old. That's 125 years from the time of Sanherib to the time of Nebuchadnezzar. But according to the Medrash, he was very well aware of what happened with Sanherib, and he was not so eager to conquer Yerushalayim. The nations of Ammon Umoaf had such hatred for Klal Yisrael, they came to Nebuchadnezzar and told him, "Don't worry. Don't worry, you will succeed. This is not going to be a repeat of Chizkiyahu and Sancheriv. You will succeed." And so he said, one point in the conversation, he said, "But I'm afraid maybe there are tzaddikim in the generation which will be negin for Klal Yisrael." So Amon Moav told Nebuchadnezzar, they quoted the pasuk in Mishlei, "Lokach tsuror kaspo." Hashem has taken his money pouch, referring to the tzaddikim. The tzaddikim are called the tsuror kaspo. He's taken away the tzaddikim, and there's no one to be negin for the generation. You have nothing to worry about. In the generation of Tzidkiyahu, there were tzaddikim. The tzaddikim were negin, and that's why Sancheriv was not successful. But in this generation, all of the tzaddikim have already perished. The Asar Rugi Malchus, we learned that the first two of the Asar Harugi Malchus, Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Shimon, were killed before the Churban Beis HaMikdash. So the Tzor Kaspo have been taken. There's no one to protect. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has gone on a faraway trip. Then Yerushalayim is vulnerable. Ascend, attack, and you will be successful. Holach b'derech l'nei rachok. V'imo haloi nasu tzilalayich, and the shadow has departed. This is a Gemara This is brought down in Shulchan Aruch that there was to be a minhag on the night of Hashanah Rabbah to go out into the street and see if you can see your shade from the light of the moon. And if a person can see his shadow from the light of the moon, it's a good sign. But if you cannot see your shadow from the light of the moon, it means you're in trouble. And you have to do tshuva. It's brought down in the Ramah, in the laws of Hashanah Rabbah. The Ramah goes on to say that we don't do this with Zman Hazeh, because we're not the keyim in this. And people can get very depressed and very upset, so we're not makpid. But there is such a concept of the shade. If a person has a strong, if a person casts a strong, thick shadow, that is an indication that he is protected. We do not know what this means. We find this by the Meraglim. When Yoshua came to Eretz Yisrael, the Meraglim spoke Lashon Hara, but Yoshua got up to defend Eretz Yisrael, and he said about the Canaanim, Soru Tzilam, their shadow has fled. These people do not cast shadows. And that's an indication they're not strong people. They're weak. We will be able to conquer and overcome them. And there are many interpretations of what this means. Rashi there says that their Eoif was one of the people that lived in Canaan at that point in time, and he was a tzaddik, and he protected, he was making another generation. He was their tzel, he was their shadow, he was their protection. Eov has died, they no longer have protection, they are vulnerable, we will be able to easily conquer and succeed and conquer the land. But we do see in the words of Yeshua that this expression of Sarut Silam is a meaning that tzel represents a concept of protection. And here, the Maram Ramberg is mourning over the Churban of the Talmud, the Shrefas HaTalmud, with this expression that the tzel of Klal Yisrael has departed with the loss of the Talmud. The Imo Haloi B'tzel Kel B'tzalel, he had a shadow and he was able to construct the Mishkan, because the Mishkan is the tzel, is the protection of Klal Yisrael. The Imo Haloi Nasu Tzel Alayich, and with the Churban of the Tzadikim, with the Churban of the Talmud, the shadow has been lost. Vani Kishakul De Galmud, I am like one bereft from children and alone. Galmud means all alone. Nisheris Levan Mehem Kisern B'Rosh Har Mig Dolaich, I'm like a flagstaff, like a flag that's after when I go to the moon. What's on the moon? They'll find the flag of the United States, they'll find the flag of Russia, they'll find the flag, but there's no one there. Yeah. It's a sign someone was once there, but right now there's no one there. Layeshma oilakol sadim b'sharos. This is a very interesting idea. I will no longer listen to the sound of singers. There's much discussion of Bizman Hazel. Are we allowed to listen to music after the Churban Beis HaMikdash? Are we allowed to listen to them? Obviously, we're very lenient, but it's brought down in Shulchan Aruch. It's not so simple. It's not so simple that you're allowed to listen in Bizman Hazel to music. We're very lenient. Here he's expressing this in reference, even if we'll be able to listen to music after the Churban Beis HaMikdash, but after the Churban of the Talmud, no longer will I listen to the sound of male and female singers. Ali, aleki nitku chavle tupe chavlech, because your drums, the strings of your drums have been removed. The Torah is considered to be the most beautiful music. Elbash ve eskas besak, I will dress myself in sackcloth. Kilim od yokru, because the martyrs are very dear to me. Otzmu gechol yirbiyun nafshos chalalayich, it is, they are more powerful and numerous than sand. Esma od al ma'or hayom, asha yisrach al kol aval yach hashich elai veilayich. I wonder, how could it be that the sun shines for the entire world? The sun does not shine for Klal Yisrael. With the loss of the Talmud, the loss of the Tzadikim, the sun does not shine for Klal Yisrael. Zaki b'kol mar b'tzur al shivronech v'al cholyech. I cry out with a bitter voice over to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, over the loss. V'lu yizkor havas kilulayich, halavai Hashem, should remember the good old days. Chigri levush sak alei ha'avera, dress yourself in sackcloth over the fire. Asher yotzisa l'chalek v'safka es t'leich, which has gone forth to destroy the Talmud, the Torah. Then he goes on, the last words are words of comfort. Kimei en usech yinachanech tzur me'achadosh baruch hu, bring nechama to you, the Torah, to Klal Yisrael. V'yashiv shavus shifte yishun v'yorim es shifolayich. May Hashem restore the Golos, the Klal Yisrael from Golos, and may he elevate the Klal Yisrael that has been degraded. Oy, the day will come once again. Ta'adi ba'adi shani v'sof tikhi. The day will come when you will take you will adorn yourself with beautiful clothing, beautiful with jewelry, and you will take hold of musical instruments. Tilchi bimachol v'tzali bimcholayich. You will dance in circles and rejoice. You will dance in circles and rejoice. Yarm levavi beis tzurech l'arloch. My heart will be uplifted when HaKadosh Baruch Hu will shine His light upon Klal Yisrael. V'yagia l'choshech v'yairu afeilayich. And will illuminate the darkness of Galus. Okay, so this is our kina for the Meram Eranberg, the Sreifas HaTalmud. Anything that I left out, by the way, it's not only there are studies there. I mean, there are shiurim from different that I heard from about this book burnings, Sreifas HaTalmud, even as recent as of Meir Shapiro. Sima Shas is coming up soon. Of Meir Shapiro in his yeshiva, one of the milas of his yeshiva, he had a fantastic library. And the Nazis, in the beginning of the war, they went to his yeshiva, they took out all the books of the library, they brought it to the courtyard of the yeshiva, they forced the Talmidim to sing and dance, can you imagine this, as they burnt the library of the Chachmei Lublin, the yeshiva Chachmei Lublin in Lublin, in the Rav Meir Shapiro's yeshiva, and they filmed this, and this was played in the movie theaters throughout Germany before the films. They used to have propaganda play as an introduction to the films that were shown for entertainment in Germany. This clip of watching the Talmidim sing and dance as the Svarim of the Shiva, the library of Chachmulim was burning, was displayed for the whole Germany as part of their propaganda. Okay, may we have Nechama from this terrible tzara.